And today we're going to go through a couple more of these let us statements. And these two are closely related. They actually, one builds on top of the other one. The first one I'm going to give you in just a moment is important. It's crucial. So is the second one. But if you do the first one without the second one, it's not going to be complete. It's not going to be all that it's supposed to be and do in your life. So we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 12. If you've got your iPhone, your iPad, your whatever, your Samsung, your good gravy, your hard copy Bible, that's what I like right here, my little hard copy Bible. Go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, and we're going to pick up right there the first let us statement today that we need to adopt into our lives. It says, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude, by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Let us show gratitude. See, gratitude is an attitude. Now, I know that rhymes, but that's not why I said it. It's not like, hey, gratitude's an attitude. Isn't that a nice little rhyme? Gratitude really is an attitude. It's something inward in you. Thanksgiving is an action. We could talk about action in just a moment, but gratitude is an attitude that we've got to cultivate in our lives. And what's interesting is that grace is actually connected with gratitude. So we just read Hebrews 12, 28 and 29. I just read it out of the New American Standard, but I want to read Hebrews 12, 28 out of the King James Version for you as well. Here's how the King James puts it. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace. Now, if I were to open up a Greek Bible and I were actually to read this verse to you, that little part right there actually says, cling to grace. That's what it says. Hold on to grace. There's even a connection to the word grace found in our modern languages when people say thank you. So if you were to go to Italy, I know there's a few Italians in the room. There's one right back there I'm looking at right now, Paisano, my cousin. If you were to go to Italy and say thank you, you'd say grazie. You hear the word grace in there? Yeah. You know, if you are going to say the same thing in Spanish, say, you want to say thank you, what are you going to say? Gracias. I love it how we have some Spanish speakers on staff, and I'll go up and say something in Spanish to them, and they'll answer me in English. And I'm like, why are you going to do that? You know, here I am trying to show identification. I'll go up and say, hola, and they'll say, hi. Okay. Unless it's Pastor Jonathan. If I give him one word in Spanish, my brother's off to the races. But if I say thank you, gracias. Don't you hear grace in there? Grace is connected with thanksgiving. It's connected with gratitude. So what does that tell me? If I look in the original language and it really says you need to cling to grace, what is that telling me? It's telling me that if I am lacking gratitude, then I have lost sight of the grace of God in my life. If I'm lacking gratitude somewhere in my life, I'm letting go of grace, because gratitude is built on the grace of God. So if I'm supposed to cling to grace, if I'm supposed to do that to maintain an attitude of gratitude, if I'm supposed to cling to it, when I cling to grace, then I have gratitude. When I cling to grace, I understand it isn't about me. There's a lot of stuff that I just don't deserve, and I am grateful for what I have when I cling to grace. But when I let go of grace, you know what I do to God? You owe me. That's how I approach God, when I let go of his grace. When I don't cling to it, I'm not grateful anymore. I'm not thankful anymore. Instead, I'm letting go and saying, all right, you owe me. And when you do give me stuff, you didn't give me enough. You should have done it differently. We need to have an attitude of gratitude that understands it's built on grace and clings to that grace of God. But the thing is we're not born that way. You know your children are not born with gratitude. They're born with an expectation. Feed me. That's the first thing. Feed me. For my kids, that's been the thing all the way through life. Feed me. When the child comes out, it's feed me, right? There's an expectation. The first word they learn is probably not thank you. You know what they learn. Mine, mine. You know that. Or, you know, something else, but it's not thank you. It's not gratitude. We're not born with that in us. It's something we got to cultivate in our lives, to be grateful. because we really whine a lot. We really do. I was thinking about this and just thinking about Mom, God bless you. My mom had to parent me, you know, how when I was a teenager, just like all y'all, and I just thought money grew on trees, I could do whatever, you know, and it was just going to be there. You weren't really thankful for what you had. And even now, you know, it's like you go to the refrigerator and you open it up. I'd be standing there. My mother probably just went crazy. Did your parents say things like, what are you trying to air condition the whole house? You just open it up and you just look at it. What are you doing? I'm hungry. I don't know. What do you want to eat? I don't know. There's nothing to eat. And the refrigerator's filled from top to bottom. We have a pantry. That pantry's full. That refrigerator's full in my kitchen. If I take you down to my garage, I have another refrigerator in my garage. And it's not just sitting there. It's plugged in and there's actually food in it. And right next to it is another freezer, okay? I got all those things going, and yet my children can say, oh my goodness, there's nothing to eat in this house. We do that all the time. Or do you go to your closet and you got clothes from one wall to the other wall? Some of y'all got shoes, and I can name some folk I'm thinking about right now. Some of the pastors know who I'm talking about. You got shoes like crazy. You got more shoes than you can shake a stick at, and you still look and you're like, man, I don't have nothing to wear today. Nothing to wear. Or do you like it when your children tell you they are bored? I'm bored. You got an iPhone that could probably run the space station. You got an iPad. We got a satellite dish with more channels than we even know about. We're still discovering new channels. I'm bored. You do the same thing with your car, too. Man, I got to have a better car. I got to have a better this. You know that over 90% of the world doesn't even have a vehicle? They got to walk places. I was going to make a smart comment, but I'm just going to leave it alone there. I was going to say, maybe we should have a let's live like the third world day or whatever, you know, and see how everybody likes walking to work or walking to school or whatever. You know, and there's nothing wrong with wanting a car or a better car. There's nothing wrong with wanting good food or clothes or whatever. Okay, but there is something wrong when I'm constantly whining about that stuff and I don't have any gratitude for what I already have in front of me. Where everything's getting out of perspective and I've got an attitude that's like, you owe me and you owe me more, instead of, you know what, thank you. Instead of going to your vehicle, I know the thing sounds terrible or whatever, but when you go to your vehicle and just be like, God, thank you that I can drive from point A to point B and I don't have to walk or, you know, I don't have to ride a mule to get to the office today. I can actually do it in a vehicle. We've got to have a good perspective on being grateful, an attitude of gratitude. So if I don't have gratitude, I've lost sight of grace. But there's another thing about not having gratitude, and that is it's a mark of unbelief in my life. In the book of Romans chapter 1, Paul's writing, and here's what he says. I'm not going to get into all the argument that he's making, but he's setting up, talking about some key things in the book of Romans. Here's what he says in verse 21. It says, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. Wouldn't even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. And as a result, what happened? Their minds became dark and confused. Now listen, confused doesn't mean you're wandering around, I don't know where I am, I forgot my name. Confused means you have clearly misunderstood the roles here. Because when you do this, what you're doing is you are making yourself God. So you have now taken, you are highly confused because you think you are God and you refuse to honor God as God. You have unbelief, you are ungrateful. This is where you are in life when you don't have an attitude of gratitude. And that's the kind of stuff that you will do. You will exalt yourself as God because you've lost sight of his grace and you don't believe he is who he said he is. He'll do what he said he would do. You can do a better job of it yourself. And listen, here's the deal. In the last days, these things are going to get worse, Scripture tells us. They're going to get worse. 2 Timothy 3 says, people will love only themselves and their money. Does that sound familiar to you at all? Now, these things have been around forever. Okay, so you'll see these characteristics in different societies, different times, different places. Things ebb and flow. They go up and down. I understand that. But the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, and listen, every day brings us one day closer. Oh, sorry, It gets more, the older I get, the more exciting it gets to me. You know, and you know, the truth is, when you're walking with Jesus, you know, I don't live in fear of all that kind of stuff. I live in excitement, like it could be today if I hear the trumpet. See ya. But listen, leading up to that, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. It'll get worse between nations. It's going to get worse on a personal level. People will love only themselves and their money. They'll be boastful and proud, scoffing at God. Does that sound familiar today at all to you? There's just an increase in scoffers in our culture. Disobedient to their parents. Oh, Lord, this could be a whole sermon right here, I know. Disobedient to their parents. But it's not, I mean, every generation goes through trying to differentiate itself from parents, and there's always some measure of that kind of stuff that goes on. And it's not just talking about, my parents told me to go do whatever, but I sneaked over to my friend's house and we watched, you know, TV. That's not, I'm not talking about that. When this scripture is talking about disobedient to parents, it means there's actually going to be a hostility between children and parents. There's actually children who are supposed to listen and receive from their parents are now right up in their parents' faces. And they're not receiving what it is that they should receive. And ungrateful, it says, they will consider nothing sacred. Nothing sacred. I see that in our culture increasing. There's some parts of it that are good. There's some parts in our culture where people are honoring God, and I see some incredible things over here. And I really believe that we're starting to get to the crest of a wave of awakening in our country. Because it seems like whenever darkness gets really, really, really dark over here, Jesus said, watch this. Boom, and he shows up on the scene, and there's amazing awakening. Yeah, really believe that. But there's also, while you're watching the darkness, nothing sacred at all. Nothing sacred. I saw the video of the gentleman in Congress who was doing his prayer, and he got to the end. I don't know who he is. I don't know where he's from. But he was doing his prayer, and he got to the end of it, and he said, amen and a woman. Okay, now, first of all, come on. Amen had nothing to do with gender, all right? Nothing. It is a word that means let it be so. It doesn't mean we're asking all of these things for the sake of men. That's not what it means. So amen doesn't have anything to do with gender whatsoever. Listen, I believe in gender equality and all this stuff. I'm good with all of that stuff. But don't take the sacredness of a prayer and try to throw in something else that had nothing to do with it whatsoever. Okay? Just don't do that. They'll consider nothing sacred. That's what happens to us. We lose sight of the grace of God, and then we become just filled with unbelief.